Hope you all had a good holiday. We have not yet watched It's a Wonderful Life, which was used to be a ritual every year. I think my kids are like sick of it and will probably never watch it again. But we haven't watched it. And you know, the great lesson in that movie is that George Bailey got to see what the world would be like if he was never around. And it makes a great point. And if you're familiar with the Book of Esther, she was queen of the gigantic empire. God's people were in captivity, and that empire stretched from India to North Africa. So it was very large. And if you're familiar with the record, a very evil man got the king to make a decree. And that decree was, this is a quote from the Bible in Esther, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. And that's quite an order. And then they sent the messengers out to let everybody know this is what was going to happen on a certain day. And the people were pretty discouraged, to say the least. Esther was queen. She was in a position to intercede, but it was risky. You could not go and see the king unless he stretched out the scepter. If you walked in uninvited, you could be killed. And having communication with her uncle Mordecai, he was telling her that she should do something. Nobody knew she was a Jew. And one of the things that Mordecai said to her was, "Who knows whether you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this." And that's when she said, "If I die, I die. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to pray and fast for 3 days and tell everybody else to do the same." And so, if you're familiar with that record, it turned out really good. And I think about that sometimes because we, all born again Christians, especially those of us in the United States, we are God's people today. During these times that we live in. And it's easy to get discouraged, and things that we see going on that sometimes we might say, this is insanity. So we see and hear things going on, but we are here. We're God's people here at this particular time. And who knows what kind of an impact we can have with our prayers. So we pray for our country and we continue to pray for one another. And then we look for open doors to speak the truth of God's word. We let the light out. And if there's anything else God wants us to do, then he can certainly tell us. But, well, if you would take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 1. Today's Sunday, January the 1st, 2023, a brand new year. And since it's the start of a new year, I thought I would, I just thought we'd look at something new. It's called the New Testament. Actually, this morning we're going to look at two gems or two nuggets from the book of Romans. First, a little background review. The four Gospels, as you know, show the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we read about and see him fulfilling all that was required for mankind's redemption and salvation. And it was all completed, fulfilled, when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where the four Gospels end, and that's basically where the book of Acts begins, with Jesus being resurrected, teaching for 40 days, and then the ascension. Acts is the book where we see the transition. Beginning on the day of Pentecost, the transition to what is now available because of the completed work of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a transition from the old covenant, the old arrangement God had with his people, a transition to the new covenant, if you will, or the new arrangement that God now had with his people. Back in Genesis, God made promises to Abraham, he made covenants with Abraham. Later, with Moses, God made a specific covenant to the descendants of Abraham, the children of Israel. He was going to be their God. He was going to take care of them. He was going to protect them. He was going to supply for them. And they were to obey him. But as you know, they got to a point where they turned their backs on God, broke the covenant, and went to serving idols. But meanwhile, God had an even bigger plan, not just for Israel, but for all of mankind. And then once Jesus Christ fulfilled all the requirements, the door was then opened for anybody and everybody. And so here we are in Romans, and beginning here in Romans, as well as the epistles that follow, God's word unfolds to us the details of this new covenant, this new arrangement, what God made available beginning on the day of Pentecost. And we often refer to it as a new administration, a new way that God would deal with his people. Oh, isn't that nice? Somebody's phone. Oh, okay. That's fine. It wasn't the return, because that's going to be a little louder, I think.
We'll know.
Yeah, we will know. You're right. Be a trumpet, and then there's supposed to be a loud voice, right? The shout of an archangel. I don't wonder what that's going to sound like. All right. Going to scare the hell out of some people, but we'll be blessed. It's really noteworthy that through the centuries, the order of the seven church epistles has never changed. There are other books in the Bible over the years that are placed in this place and that place, but the order of the seven church epistles, starting with Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, never changed. And so Romans, therefore, is the beginning. It is the foundation, the starting point for what God is revealing concerning the results of the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll look at those two gems in just a few minutes, but at the very beginning of Romans, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Paul was called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God. The word gospel in Greek means a joyful proclamation. It means good message, and sometimes we even say good news. And verses 1 and 3 tell us that this gospel of God is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the good news concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what is being given to us, revealed to us in the book of Romans, the good news concerning Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because verse 2 says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news, this joyful proclamation, this good message had been promised before. And if you leave a finger here, go to Galatians chapter 3, or leave a marker. Galatians chapter 3. That's what he says in the advanced class. Leave a marker here, we'll come back. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, through believing, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. God himself preached the gospel, the good news, to Abraham. Abraham knew of the coming Savior. He knew of the coming of mankind's redemption. He knew the need for the sacrifice of a Savior. He knew God's plan of redemption and salvation. God preached some of the good news, the gospel, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, to Abraham. And something else that Abraham knew, go to Hebrews chapter 11. And you're familiar with this chapter that by faith, it's by believing. Believing what? Believing what God told them. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by believing, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 9, by believing he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham left by believing what God told him to do. Abraham knew and believed what God told him about a city whose builder and maker was God. That's third heaven and third earth. That's the next administration time. Isn't that neat? So back to Romans chapter 1. No wonder Abraham is called the friend of God. God sure told his friend a lot of cool things. And this book, volume 1, In the Footsteps of Patriarchs, Prophets, Believers, and Kings, there's such a great section on Abraham, the friend of God, an introductory study. And it's just wonderful. If you haven't read it in a while, it's just such great information about this wonderful man of God who is also called the father of all them that believe. I think we could learn something from him. But anyway, it says in verse 2 where we were at in Romans 1, 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. God had revealed parts of the gospel concerning his son to Abraham and to others, but certain matters God did not communicate. You know, in the Old Testament, we can read about some of the things that Jesus Christ would accomplish. Remember on the road to Emmaus, the two guys, Jesus Christ, went through all the scriptures with the verses concerning himself. So there's lots in the Old Testament about the Savior coming, but in the Old Testament, we cannot read about the great mystery. God kept that hidden until he first revealed it to the Apostle Paul. So here we are in Romans, the very beginning, the foundation of what God is going to reveal, the good news, the joyful proclamation concerning his son, Jesus Christ, what's now available. So Romans is like the starting point, and I think I've read this before, but here's what Martin Luther said about the book of Romans. This letter is truly the most important piece in the New Testament. It is purest gospel. It is well worth a Christian's while not only to memorize it word for word, but also to occupy himself with it daily, as though it were the daily bread of the soul. Wow. It is impossible to read or to meditate on this letter too much or too well. The more one deals with it, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes. And you know, it was what Martin Luther saw in the book of Romans that just rocked his life. The just shall live by believing. And that just changed his whole life. So there are many great gems or nuggets of truth, diamonds in the book of Romans, and we're briefly going to look just at two of them. So here in the first chapter of Romans, verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What a revelation. This is not only a joyful proclamation. This is not only good news. This is great news. Salvation to everyone who believes. That's the condition.